Our Lady Guadalupe, St. Joseph, pray for us. All God's angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Okay, Happy New Year. We're going to go to our textbook. If you have your textbook, your red textbook. Now you're going to have to look on with someone else, right? Okay, who has the textbook? Okay. Okay, most do not. Okay. What we'll do is then we'll just... Can you hear me in the back? Yeah. Okay, I can probably do it without you. Okay, then we'll go right to the worksheet, okay? Or most do not have it. Okay, a good idea is you could maybe sit up in front and you separate. That's good. Sit right here. Okay, let's go. It's a long class, so let's go into it right away. First question is, what does it mean to say that God is the creator? Okay, to say that God is the creator means that God made all things from nothing. God made all things from nothing. And he keeps them in existence by his providence. God creates with wisdom and love. Creation is the foundation of all God's saving plans. The beginning of the history of salvation that culminates in Christ. So God created all out of nothing. In creation, what do you like best? This is aside from the worksheet. In other words, in creation, is there anything in creation that maybe makes you think about God? None of you like anything about creation. Have you ever taken a nature walk? It's difficult. You live in a city. Maybe you've never been exposed to nature. My parents have a house in the rolling hills of New Hampshire where there's just beautiful hillsides. You got the trees and you got the flowers and you got the animals there. You got the meadows. You got the lakes. You got the rolling hills that move right up into Canada. It's beautiful. It's different than L.A. I'm not saying it's better, but it's very different. Are you about to say something? Yeah. None of you like anything in nature? I have somewhat of the poet's heart. I could go on and on and on. No? You know, I love the sun. That's me. I love the sun. When it gets dark, you become a little bit sad. Because I like light. I really like light. Have you ever been there when the sun is rising? You ever seen that? I think that's beautiful, don't you?
Yeah.
When the sun is going down, the sun is rising, almost as if God is a painter. You see the pinkish, orangish hue. Seems as if God has this paintbrush and he's just painting the sky. I think the sun is beautiful. Now, let me give you an example. Do any of you speak Spanish? Is your Spanish pretty good? Or I notice that most of the teenagers, their Spanish starts to kind of go down. No, but you can't speak Spanish? Okay, do you know the word girasol? Do you know what that means? You lost your Spanish, huh? Okay, girasol, never heard that before? Girasol? Stella, have you ever heard of Hira Soul? Okay. What's that? Okay, Hira Soul. Do you know grammar? And do you learn grammar? Do you know what a verb is? Okay, Hira Soul comes from the reflexive verb Hirarse, which means, any of you good in Spanish and English? Turn towards. Hira Soul. Now in English it's very different. In English the word is sunflower. So in Spanish it would be Flor del Sol. I like the Spanish better. And let me tell you what happened once. I went home to visit my parents and it rained a couple of days, two or three days. And I was taking this nature walk, so I'm walking 3 or 4 miles, going up and down the hills, and I walked and I saw this beautiful patch of sunflowers. Right after it finished rain, you know what they look like? They look like they're mourning for a funeral. They're all with their heads bowed down like that. The reason being, because of the rain. When I arrived, the sun came out. It wasn't because I arrived that the sun came out, but the sun did come out when I arrived, okay? And after a day, when I was walking the following day, the sunflowers were like this. What a transformation. That's why it's called Hira Soul. The sunflower survives upon the condition that it's exposed to sun. You want to kill a sunflower? Yeah. Take it away from the sun. So the whole essence of the sunflower is it's got to be exposed to the sun. Now you are human sunflowers. What is your soul? Jesus Christ, the light of the world. How poetic, huh? But he's the light of the world, right? So the closer you draw to Christ, who's the light of the world, the less you're going to be like this, and the more you're going to be like this. Right, Estella? Yeah. So the more you draw close to Christ, the light of the world, the more joyful you're going to be, the more you're going to be growing, the stronger you're going to be. Sooner or later you're going to be studying physics in school. You probably haven't studied physics yet, no? You've heard of physics, right? You're probably in 10th grade, you're going to be studying physics. Okay, the sun, according to physics, has two properties, which are light and heat. Would you agree with that? Does the sun have light? You know the sun is actually a star, did you know that? It's a medium-sized star. Like a ball of fire, that's what it is. No? So it has both light and heat. Did you ever hear the Holy Spirit? Spirito Santo, ever hear the Holy Spirit? What does he give us? Light here, right, in our mind. And what about here? Love in our heart, right? Ah, see it? So he gives us light here. So we can understand what the truth is. And he wants to give us fire in our hearts. So maybe because I'm a nature lover, you talk to me anything about nature, and it really makes me think about God. What about the blue sky? It's like the mantle of Mary. Right? You ever look up at the stars in the sky? Never done that yet? Maybe not. Look up at the stars in the sky. After it's rained, you can see these beautiful stars. Who created them? God. You ever take a nature walk where you see flowers? Do you like flowers? My favorite flower, I don't know about you, is I like the La Rosa. I like the rose. Now, roses are different colors, did you know that? Could be red. Sometimes they're yellow roses. Because the Blessed Mother, one of her titles is La Rosa Mystica. How do you translate that in English? La Rosa Mystica. The mystical rose, right? So Mary's a mystical rose. Or maybe this, have you ever gone to an aquarium? A little aquarium, you know what an aquarium is? You know, there's one in Long Beach. What I notice in an aquarium, there's so many different fish, but everyone is different. Notice that? Every different fish. You ever go to the zoo? A lot of animals, right? And they're all different. See how God created the fish. He created the animals. Created the stars. And here's the big question. Of all creation in this world, what is the greatest in creation? Of all creation, what is the greatest? Okay, I'll give you a hint. There's about 30 sitting down in front of me. Of all creation, I'll give you a hint. There's about 30 sitting down in front of me. With long hair and brown eyes, no? Some of you have four eyes, as I do also. Right, we got four eyes, right? Of all creation, what's the greatest? The human person. And when they arrived here before they were born, because they probably baptized most of them, they arrived in about 1993 before you were born, no? So I saw most of you in your mom's stomach, no? I remember hearing, you know what a mountain lion is? There was a mountain lion. You never heard of mountain lion? You know, in Big Bear, you're going to see different animals. One is a mountain lion. Not quite the size of a lion, but they're pretty fast. They got claws. They can run fast. And there was a woman that was running. And the mountain lion actually grabbed onto the woman and killed the woman. And the mountain lion died. And you know what they did? They raised money because the mountain lion was a girl. And she had little cubs. And the woman had a couple of kids. They raised twice as much money for the mountain lion's cubs than for the children. You think that was right? Yeah, that's right. I think it's wrong because three little children are much more important than three little mountain lion cubs, right? You got it? Yeah, animals. I mean, animals. We got two cats. We love our cats, the cats. One of the cats spent the whole night in the cold, so he's a little bit sick. We're going to have to take him maybe to the veterinarian. But we don't want to put animals above God. What's going to happen when the plant dies? It's going to decompose. What can happen when a cat dies? Going to decompose. What's going to happen when a dog dies? What's going to happen when you die? Oh, really? Okay. Are you atheists? You ever hear the word an atheist? What does the word atheist mean? Never heard the word atheist? What's an atheist? Okay, someone who doesn't believe in God. Did you ever hear the atheist who said, "I'm an atheist, thanks be to God"? Doesn't sound right, does it? No. So when you die, your body's going to die, but what about your soul? No, your soul's not going to die. Your body's going to die, but what about your soul? Where's it going to go? Well, as soon as you die, what's going to happen? You're going to be judged. You're going to be before Jesus, and everything you've ever done in your life, like you're going to see the DVD or the movie or the YouTube or la película, the film of your life. And if you give Jesus a G movie, good. But our movie, Not good. But an X movie, that's not good at all, right? X-rated movie? That's bad, isn't it? Hopefully your life is not going to be an X-rated movie. Or an R. Hopefully it's going to be PG. I hope it's not even PG, but it's just going to be G. Open to all. I don't know if you ever heard of Shakespeare.
Yeah.
Shakespeare said, the world is the platform and we're the actors in the play of life, no? So we all have our own drama, we all have our own tragedy, we all have our comedy, we all have our own history. Hopefully we can have less tragedy and more history and better comedy, huh? So if we die in God's friendship, where do we go? Where? How about if we die in mortal sin? We go to hell, right? So we die in mortal sin, we go to hell. If we die in God's friendship, we go to heaven. So we're talking about creation, in the order of creation, the highest in this world, that's you and me. We're the highest. In this world. But aside from this world, there's something even higher than us. Do you know? I'll give you a hint. He's next to you right now, invisible, but he's more powerful than you are. Yes, but he's right next to you. You can't see him. He's invisible, but he's much more powerful than you. And he has a very powerful intellect and a strong will. Who would that be? Elijah de la Guarda. Elijah de la Guarda. Oh, you're an uncle? Elijah de la Guarda. How do you say that? How do you say that in English? You ever hear of your guardian angel? So, you know, your guardian angel is much more powerful than you are. But who's even greater than the guardian angel? Okay, even before God. Even before Jesus. Because Jesus is God. Okay, it's Mary, right? So Mary, you have the angels, they're great. But Mary is even greater than the angels. She's called the Queen of Angels. So when the angels see Mary, they bow down to her as her queen. So creation. Now here's a question some people are going to ask you. You're Catholics. If God is so good, why does evil exist? I think you already studied that. That's a good question. If God is so good, God is good, right? Why does evil exist? I think it's a good question. Never thought about that? Can anyone respond? God is good. We know that God is good. But if God is so good, why does evil exist? Why are there wars? Why is there terrorism? Why are there bombs? Why? Is it God's fault? And the reason is that God did not create us like robots, but God created us with a free will. We're free. And we can choose to do good or we can choose to do bad. So God is never at fault. It's our fault by making wrong choices. That's the reason why there's evil in the world. So we can either do good or we can do evil. And we're going to be judged on how we utilize the free will that God has given to us. So you never say that God is evil, but rather, people make bad choices. And that's why we're here, confirmation, because we want to learn what is good, what is evil, to avoid the evil, and to do the good. Can you tell me the greatest thing you can do in this world?
Pray or go to church.
Good. Okay, how about being more specific?
Call
What? Right. Okay, so when you go to Mass and you receive communion, that's the greatest thing you can do. Do any of you ever go to Mass? Do any of you ever receive communion? Do you? How do you feel? Feel good? How do you feel? Okay, Estella, you know, she probably speaks more Spanish than English, but do you ever go to Mass?
Every day. Sometimes twice a day.
Well, how do you feel when you receive communion?
Beautiful.
Yeah. You go to Mass every day. Like you're on vacation, you could go to Mass every day and receive communion. You receive God into your heart. And this is what Jesus says in John chapter 6. He says, I am the bread of life, right? Whoever eats my body and drinks my blood will have everlasting life. And I'll raise him up on the last day. What does that mean? So if you receive communion with a lot of love, when you die, you're going to go to heaven. When I was your age, there was a very famous rock and roll star, much more tame than today. I think that she had about the most beautiful voice I've ever heard. You can even Google her in. Her name was Karen Carpenter. Ever hear of her? She actually sang with her brother, Karen Carpenter. She sang well, but you know how she died? Very sad. Did you ever hear the word anorexia? Can any of you tell me what anorexia is? Pretty common among teenage girls, less among boys. Don't know what anorexia is? You said you knew. What did it mean? Ah, oh, come on. You're faking. You're faking ignorance to not make the other girls feel sad, huh? You know what it is? What is it?
People, like, when girls show up and make themselves show up and hurt themselves because they feel they're
sad. Okay. Is that a sickness? So actually this girl was probably had about the best voice in the world. She actually died of anorexia. Can you tell me what spiritual anorexia is? Let's see if you can put two and two together. Make a logical connection. You're intelligent, right? What would spiritual anorexia be? That's physical anorexia. Can someone die spiritually? How? How can someone die spiritually?
What?
Okay, but what would happen if you, year 2017, you never received communion the whole year. Would that be good?
No.
Would you be suffering spiritual anorexia?
Yes.
How can you explain that? Because you nourish your body with food, right? How do you nourish your soul? Holy communion, right? So there are a lot of people that are dying of spiritual anorexia. So you want to be healthy in your soul, receive Holy Communion. That'll make you healthy and strong in your soul. Right? Well, you know, you want to make sure that you receive it as soon as possible, right? And if you... I usually teach the boys confirmation. I ask them once, what would you like your last meal to be? One kid, hamburger, taco, Chuck E. Cheese, sirloin steak, lobster. One person in the class said, I'd like my last meal to be Holy Communion. That was me. And the guy said, hey, Father, not bad, yeah. Yeah. Nothing wrong with pizza or a good hamburger, no, but Holy Communion is even better.
What if you eat a hamburger before the Holy Communion?
Well, you might get sick, right? Better just to skip the hamburger and have Holy Communion, huh? No, say for example, you're really, really sick, you know, in the hospital, the priest or even Estella, who brings communion to the sick, can go and visit you, and before you die, say for example, you're about to die, in 6 hours, the priest gives you Holy Communion, and that's your last meal. So when you wait, when you die, you go before Jesus, and Jesus said, "You just received my body and blood. Hey, welcome home." Ever hear the expression? You become what you eat. Ever hear that one? You become what like you eat. If you know, if you eat, you have bad eating habits, you might get sick. But if you have good eating habits, you're probably going to be stronger. So we have to have good spiritual eating habits. But what happens is we usually pay more attention to our body over our soul. I'll tell you an interesting story. About 3 years ago, there was an 85-year-old man that had a heart attack. And his wife, the first thing she did was she called the priest. Then she called the paramedics. I think that was intelligent to do that?
Yes.
You know who that woman was? That was my mother, and the man was my father. And I really admire my mother for that, because she really loves my father, who died October 1st, just a few months ago. But what happened was, she thought he was going to die, so right away she called the priest, and then about 2 minutes later she called the paramedics. So the paramedics came and took him to the hospital, and thanks be to God, it wasn't something serious. But right away she's thinking he's going to die, I want him to receive the sacrament so that he can go to heaven. You know, I've never heard that before. The only one I ever heard do that was my mother, no? She's thinking, I've been married with him for, you know, close to 60 years, I want to make sure if he dies, I want to see him up there. But that's pretty rare. Usually think on a more material plane more than on a supernatural plane. How would you like to die? Do you want to die one day?
Yes.
How would you like to die? Usually when they ask teenagers, they usually say, "In my sleep, Father." Usually. En mi sueño, padrecito. How would you like to die? Peaceful?
Eating?
Sure. In a nice car accident? Would you like to die like the Mexican martyr Jose Luis Sanchez del Rio? None of you know about that boy that died. He was about 50, about your age, maybe a year older. He died in the Cristeros. Do you know how he died?
Yeah.
How did he die?
Like, he said
the
priest
and they stabbed him once and then he shot. Yeah, he was walking to the cemetery and they were hitting him with sticks. You know what machetes are?
Yeah.
And like sticks, and then with these machetes, and he was bleeding. And actually, did you see any of you see the movie For the Greater Glory? What'd you think? Powerful, right? What? But where do you think that boy is now? He's there. Remember when they cut his feet? Remember what he said? "Lord, give me strength. Lord, give me strength." Then they made him walk into the cemetery, and they tried to get him to say "Maldice Cristo Rey," curse Christ the King, and he said "Vive Cristo Rey." And he arrived at the cemetery, and what did they do to him? Stab him a couple of times, and then what did they do? Then how did he die? Don't you remember the blood was coming out? What did he do with his blood? Remember that detail? So the blood was coming out, and he was strong enough to make the sign of the cross with his own blood. Then he died. In Michoacan. Any of you from Michoacan? Your parents from Michoacan? What? Well, you know what happened? He was laying on the ground and the blood was coming out of his temple, and with his thumb he made the sign of the cross of the blood on the ground. And then after that he died. Would you like to die like that?
No.
Where would you go if you died like that?
What do you mean by that?
Where would you go after you die, right after, if you die like that?
Heaven.
Don't you want to go to heaven?
Yes, but I don't
want to
die like
that. Okay. You don't want to die that way? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, at least you're honest, no? I think Stella, as well as myself, would like to die as martyrs, right? We're not strong enough, no? But God will give us the strength. We have to die as a martyr. God will give us the strength. I'd like to die the way God wants me to die. Wouldn't you? That's probably the best way, right? And God wants me to die in his friendship. Die in grace. If I die in grace, then I'm going to go to heaven. I'm going to go to heaven. I'll be with God for all eternity. You like heaven? What do you like best about heaven?
That we're there with God.
Okay, I thought you were going to say, I don't have to go to school. Well, you got to be honest, right? You're going to be with God. Who else are you going to be with? Mary, who else?
Angels.
Who else? I reckon, who else? Los Santos. How about the saints, right? You're going to just be there for a couple of days, no? How long are you going to be there?
Forever.
You ever think of eternity? What does eternity mean?
You're going to be alive.
Forever and ever and ever and ever and ever, right? It's never going to end. No? Think about like 100 years. That's just beginning. Or 1,000 years. That's just beginning. Or 10,000 years. That's just beginning. And how short life is. Now, I've often thought about this, Stella. If I live to be 80, I've already lived more than 75% of my life. I'm closer to the other end of the bridge. If you know a little bit about math, no?
Yes.
If I live to be 80, I mean, that seems like the age of your bisabuelos, right? I've already lived more than 75% of my life. I've often thought I'm near the end. I could live to be 100, but probably not. Live to be 80, you know? And the older you get, the faster time goes, no? You ever think about that mathematically? You go from 3 to 4, are you good at math? That's 25% of your life, right? Not if you study math, huh? But if you go from, say, 69 to 70, that's a small portion of your life. You know, I like your pants, and I know why you have pants like that, because you spend so much time praying on your knees, right? Right, Estella? She's got her pants ripped on her knees because she spends every night before she goes to bed, she's an hour on her knees praying for all the rest of you, right? or those are called air-conditioned pants, right? On a hot day, huh? So creation is important. So when you say that you create something, that's used only metaphorically. Because creation means what? Making something out of nothing. So if you paint, for example, you know, I'm a writer. I've published my first book, okay? So you can, yeah, I'm a writer. So you can go in the office and you get my first book, okay? So I can I can create with respect to words and images, okay? I love words, images. I like to write, okay? Some like to paint. I like to paint images, words in people's mind by preaching and teaching and writing. But first, God gave me the intelligence. So I'm creating, but only metaphorically. Only God can really create, making something out of nothing. Right? Do you agree with that? I thought you would, okay? Good. Okay, number two. What does the expression of heaven and earth mean? It means that God is the creator of all that exists, except for himself, whether spiritual or material, as the words immediately following that phrase explain, of all things visible and invisible. So what are the invisible things that God created? I mean, the physical things, the sun, the moon, the earth, flowers, the plants, birds, the fish. What are the spiritual things that God created? I already made an allusion to it if you were paying attention 10 minutes ago. They're higher than us in dignity and power, but they're next to us. They're guardian angel. So the angels are, they exist, but they're invisible. So we live in a material world, right? But we live also in a spiritual world. How about your thoughts? Are they physical or spiritual? Yeah, so your thought process is something that's spiritual, your intellect. What's more noble, your mind or your stomach? Your mind is much more noble than your stomach, right? What is the purpose of your intellect? To absorb the truth. What's the purpose of your stomach? To absorb food, right? So our mind is much more noble, right? That's what we're doing now. We're trying to nourish our mind. And even a cat and dog have a stomach, right? So we share the material world with your dog and your cat, no? But your dog or cat cannot absorb truth the way you can. Number three, are there then other invisible realities besides God who, as we have said, is pure spirit? What do you think? Yes or no? Yes. There are spiritual creatures which are invisible to human eyes. Angels and also human souls. God creates a human soul every time a baby is conceived. So you have a soul. You have a body. You have a soul. What is your soul? You know, a definition of death is when the soul leaves the body. That's a good definition of death. Try to never forget that one. That's a good one. Soul leaving the body. What are parts of your soul? You have a memory? Do you? Yeah. Maybe not very good, but you have a memory, right? Yeah. How about an imagination? Do you have an imagination? Do you? I certainly do. How about intelligence? Do you have intelligence? Oh, yes, you do. Yeah. So you have an intellect, you have an imagination, you have a memory. All of that is part of your soul. And your soul, which is all throughout your body, is your soul. And your soul is much more important. And so the most important hour every week is Wednesday at confirmation and when you go to Mass on Sunday. Those are two most important hours every week because we're trying to nourish our soul. Your body is important. Your soul is much more important. Right? You agree with that? I'm glad you do because it's right, huh? Next. What is the difference between the angels and the human soul? The angels are, write it in there, pure spirits. Created to exist without bodies. While human souls were created to be united with bodies, even though they do not exist separately, from the body after death, in expectation of the resurrection. Both angels and human souls are immortal. Any of you know how to spell immortal? Any good spellers? How do you spell immortal? One M or two M's? Good. I-M-M-O-R-T-A-L. Let's spell it, okay? You won the spelling bee last year, right? Okay. Immortal. Immortal means it's never going to die. Okay, what do we mean about the angels? We know that the angels are spiritual creatures gifted with intelligence. Are they more intelligent than us? Far more intelligent, the angels. And? Intelligence and? Free will. It was on the tip of your tongue, right? I was just about to say it. Let's see. Sacred Scripture speaks very frequently about the angels. They're much more perfect and powerful than we are. They are part of God's plan for salvation. The church too benefits from the mysterious and powerful help of the angels. Some angels remain faithful to God, who called them to a very particular friendship with Him through the gift of divine grace, and they were allowed to enter paradise. These are the good angels who watch over us. And protect us. Good. They watch over us and protect us. Some angels, however, we have the good angels and the bad angels. Some angels, however, rebelled against God and refused His grace. These angels are called, what are they called? They're called demons. Demons are devils. They have been condemned to hell, how long? Forever. They try to lead us away from God. Do you know what a temptation is? What's a temptation? You heard the word temptation. What does it mean? What's that? Okay, so you have maybe a thought in your mind to do something bad, right? Yeah. And often that comes from the devil. You have to try to be alert because sometimes he's working on your mind there trying to convince you to do something bad. And usually he's a liar. He says, if you do that, you're going to experience a lot of joy, a lot of pleasure. So he's really a liar. Remember Adam and Eve? Did the devil talk to Eve in the form of a what?
Snake.
Like a snake. Well, what did the snake say to Eve?
To eat
the fruit, right? And he said, if you eat it, you'll become what? You know, become like God. And Eve heard this, and she was tricked by the devil. She bit into the fruit, and then who did she give it to? Adam. What is that called? Did you ever hear of original sin, your pecado original? You've heard of it. That was the original sin, right? So the very beginning of the Bible encountered the devil, tempting Adam and Eve. Now what the devil really tries to do is this. Do you know what kryptonite is? Ever hear of kryptonite? None of you ever watched Superman?
Yeah.
Was Superman strong or weak? He was strong. Was he ever weak?
Yes.
When he was exposed to what?
Kryptonite.
What the devil does, he tries to look for your kryptonite. Your weak point. You have a strong point, you have a weak point. When I was about your age, I played Pony League Baseball. That's what it's called, at least in New York, no? And I was pretty intelligent. And I was a pitcher, And what they told me, don't throw a curveball because that could ruin your arm. And I said, who cares? So I practiced a curveball for about 100 times, even more. And the first game I pitched a no-hitter. You know what that is? You know anything about baseball?
Yeah.
No-hitter means that they never made it to first base because I was striking them out. What I did was they threw the curveball, and they were looking at the curveball, and it looked like it was going to hit them, and it curved right over the plate. I maybe watched a Dodgers game once, okay? I knew that their weak point was that they'd never seen the curveball. That's why the devil works. He knows our weak point. Do you know your weak point? I think I could tell. I think I could tell most of you what your weak point is. Can I? Yeah. Maybe one of your brothers or sisters that really makes you angry. Is that true? Well, not always. I think all of you have a brother and sister. Either one of your brothers and sisters just makes you go nuts almost, no? Maybe a little sister, come home, you're studying, she goes in, and she knocks over your books, and you just want to... Do you have any younger brothers or sisters?
Yes.
They just drive you nuts, right?
Yes.
And you come home from school, and there they are, they want to play with you, and you're so tired, get out of here, no? And you know that yeah, you should play with your little sister for maybe 10 minutes just to calm her down. But because of selfishness, get out of here. That's your kryptonite. Or it might be you don't get along with your mother because your mother's telling you to do something. You really, oh boy, mom says, come on here, let's set the table. No, mom, I'm working on my math project. Hey, set the table. If you fight with your mother, your dad comes home and you're fighting with your mother, and then your father fights with your mother because you're fighting with her. The whole family's fighting because you're fighting with your mother. Sounds real? Yeah. And often behind that, that's the devil. The devil wants fights. He wants people to get angry at each other. He wants people to maybe say bad words or maybe insults and take away your peace. That's why the devil works. And we can't see the devil because he's invisible. But he wants fights and anger, bad words, impatience. So you got to be careful. To make a long story short, maybe just play with your little sister 5 or 10 minutes and then you can go and do your work, huh? Yeah, it's an act of charity. What would happen if you were her? Put yourself in her place. It's called the golden rule. You'd want your older sister to give you a little bit of time. Right? You know that. You had an older sister, older brother, give you a little bit of time. Selfishness, that's the word. Egoism, right? Okay, so the devil exists. Next, we should constantly recommend ourselves to our good angels. Above all, to our guardian angels. And keep ourselves from the snares
of the
devil. Don't even know what snares means. What's snares? Spanish is called las trampas. Las trampas. Snares would be the tricks of the devil. The devil is tricky. Spanish is the word las trampas. Of the devil. Who wants to tempt us to do evil. Okay? Then, which is the noblest of all God's visible creatures? The noblest of God's visible creatures is the, write it down, the human person. Human person.
What is the
first one? You mean number 6?
Visible.
The noblest of God's visible creatures is the human person, created in the image of God and able to know and love his own creator. It is true that the human person belongs to the material world on account of his body, but it is also true that he is like the angels because of his spiritual and immortal soul. Who's more important, men or women? What do you think? Equal. Different, but equal, no? You know, the macho guy said, no, the macho, no, I'm more important. Equal. Different, but equal. Male and female, he created them. Men and women were willed by God for each other. Both are made in the image of God. Let me tell you something very sad. About 3 years ago, California law allowed this, that you can go into Kaiser Permanente, that hospital. You can go in as a girl, then you can come out as a boy. Did you know that? It's called transgenderism. Isn't that sad? And now at Target, you know where Target is? They're fighting to make transgender bathrooms. What did you say? Isn't that dumb? You go in the bathroom, and there's a boy in the bathroom, and you want to go to the bathroom. Isn't that ugly? They're pushing for that. So be aware of what's going on in the country. Now, some things are good, some things are not good at all. Girls should be girls, and boys should be boys. There should be boys' bathrooms and girls' bathrooms. Even though the country is changing where you're going to be seeing bathrooms that are transgender, boy or girl can go into it. And you can go to hospital and you can come out of the hospital being a boy, even though God created a girl. Do you think that's right? No, that's wrong. Yeah. What did we just read? It says God created them male and female. Did you read that? They come from the Bible. They come from the Bible. Now, some of your biology teachers, when you go to high school and college, you're going to defend this. It's good that you're coming to confirmation now, because you're going to hear a lot of friends who say, no, you're a girl, you can become a boy, or this or that. No, God created you as beautiful girls, and thank God for that. Thank God for that. You might want to be a boy, no? God created you beautiful girls, and thank God for that. But in school, you're going to be hearing a lot of weird stuff. A lot of weird stuff. That's why it's good to talk with your confirmation teacher, talk to Adonella, talk to your mom and dad, talk to the priest, if you ever hear these things that are confusing you. You hear me? Because you're going to be hearing a lot of stuff that is really weird. And what happens is, you keep hearing it over and over and over again, you're going to believe it. You know what Adolf Hitler said? When you tell a lie, tell a big lie, but keep repeating it. I don't like to quote Adolf Hitler because he was a bad man. But he was right in that. You keep repeating a lie over and over and over again, before you know it, you're going to believe it. And this is the way it should be. Later on, hopefully all of you are going to fall in love with a guy, a man. Okay? Later on. Okay? And a little bit later, you're still chiquitas, you're still young. Okay? You are, no? And then what's going to happen? Fall in love. He's going to fall in love with you. He's going to ask for your hand. He's going to give you a ring. You're going to get married in the church. You hear me? You're not just Las Vegas. You're going to get married in the church. Because now what's happened, a lot of people go to Las Vegas and they just have that type of marriage. And that's not good. You're a Catholic. You got to get married in the church. You hear me? Married in the church. And you get married. And one of the most beautiful things in the world is one day many of you are going to have babies. And that's beautiful. Right? I mean, you're still young, but many of you are going to be mothers, and that's one of the most beautiful things in the whole world, is to be a mother and have a baby. If you don't believe me, ask your mom. I mean, not when she's in a bad mood, okay? You ask your mom, when I ask class, What is one of your greatest gifts? Your mommy said, well, when my daughter was born, when my son was born, even though I'm struggling with him, I still love them. That was a great gift. Great gift. You know, so one day, all of you, most of you will probably be mothers. How many kids you're going to have? Only God knows. Okay? I come from a family of 9. I'm a big family, and it's good. I like big families. My mom has 38 grandchildren. What do you think about that? That's a big family, right? And usually, you know, American families, like the Latinos, usually have big families, but I'm a white. Now, we have 38 altogether. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God, big families, no? But this whole idea of transgenderism and, you know, wanting to go in the hospital and change, you know, who you are, that's wrong. You created a girl, that's beautiful. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. You know, God created beautiful girls, praise the Lord. No? You don't try to change yourself. You're going against nature. Is that clear? You go to school, there's some good things in school, but some things are just wrong. Now, one thing that you're going to learn when you get in high school is that, you know, you can't control your sexual appetites. We don't believe that. You know, you have to control yourself. We're not animals, right? You know, we don't believe in birth control. We believe in self-control. Amen? Yeah. Right? We believe in birth control. We believe self-control. We're not animals. We have to control ourselves. How do we do that? Through God's grace. Through prayer. Through the Eucharist. Through the sacraments. Through devotion to Mary. So we get into creation. I mean, it seems to be somewhat technical and theological, but my interpretation is you've got to be aware also of who God created you. God created you as beautiful women, create an image and likeness of God, and don't try to change it. Try to change it. No, my best friend, she's thinking she's really not a girl. She's kind of thinking about it. Maybe she's kind of boy or girl. No. Tell her, you know, you're confused. God created a girl. That's the way you should be. That's where you're going to live. That's where you're going to die. Amen? Agree with that, Estella? I'm glad you do. Okay, well, we didn't get through all of it. So for homework, try to read through this chapter and fill in the other. We got through 75% of it, okay? And I think we have a very important... Don't go yet. We have a very important announcement, right?
Yes, we have a live presentation on Saturday here at 12:30, Dress Modestly. Okay?